Hey everyone, Brian from All Day Rock Off here, and in today's podcast episode, we're talking about the Sage event with Mike. He's putting on this event, and I'm really excited to have him here to talk about Sage, talk about what he wants to accomplish with that event, and some of the things that might be happening during it. This event is not being run by GoRuck. It's actually being run by Mike. Signups are currently going on through Range University, and he gets into all of that in the podcast episode. Before we get into the interview, hope you're staying safe out there amidst this COVID-19, and I hope life hasn't gotten too chaotic for you. You're listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 146. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. Really hope you enjoy learning more about the first Sage event. And here is the interview with Mike. Today, I'm talking with Mike. Really, really excited to have him on the podcast. He's done a lot of really unique events in the past, and we're going to be talking about those as well as talking about the event Sage that he's putting on coming up pretty quick. Mike, how are you doing today?
Good, Brian. How are you this fine day?
I'm doing good. Thanks again for taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure.
So we talked a bit briefly before this. Your first event was ABSOC, which is just a large, that first ABSOC was a huge event. Five cadre, if I recall correctly, were out there, over 100 people. How did you get roped into doing that event?
I had a friend at church, whose name will remain anonymous for bringing me into this cult. He said, you know, hey, he had been talking about it, and he said, you should try it. And I said, he said, you know, it's easy. And he said, you know, you walk around, you carry some stuff, and life is good, and you know, you get a patch at the end. I said, okay. So I did a little bit of training, and then rolled out for the welcome party, which was a bit of a shock. In fact, Big Daddy, I think the smart money in his mind was that I was going to die during the event, because when I exercise heavily, I turn beet red, and I have done this my entire life. But, you know, because of my age, he was going like, oh, man, this guy's going to die on me. But got through it 14 and a half hours and had a blast doing it. You know, the next day was a little bit tough, but, you know, it was a good time.
Yeah, I remember that next day was a little rough on me, too, cramming myself into the plane to fly back up here. But I'm glad you made it through and, you know, not too bad off, and it sounds like you did some events after that as well.
Did. One thing that ABSOC did show me, and I use this for every event, is it shows me areas where I can improve. And so between the event that's finished and the next event, I work on those areas where I need to improve. A couple of lights only because of scheduling thing, and then I did another tough, and the second tough was a lot easier than the first one, you know, because I had been fine tuning my training, and it has been a great experience. The experience in rucking and training for events has really had a positive impact on my health. Dropped weight, you know, I feel better, you know, it's inspired me to eat better. So, I mean, it's been an all around good thing, in, you know, just for me personally.
That's always awesome to hear. I mean, it's such a, you know, a fun time getting out there with friends, putting some weight on, going for a ruck, and I find that the miles come a little bit easier than they do when you're getting out there running by yourself or, you know, doing something else.
It is. And in my case, I'm a bit older than most of your average GORUCK folks, and so it is a pleasure to get around, and I don't use this term in a derogatory sense, but kids, because, you know, there are most of the friends I have in the GORUCK community are between 20 and 30 years younger than I am. And normally, just in business or in social environment, you don't associate with people that much younger than you. You tend to stay in your own age group. This is, I've gotten friends in that age bracket that are roughly the same age as my kids. And it's been a great rewarding experience for me.
So after that first ABSOC event, how long did it take for you to say, I want to do another one of these events? Did you know right away, or was there kind of a recovery period?
After a couple of days of recovering, then it was going, okay, I want to do this again, because I know I can do better. There are areas that I know that I can improve on. And so I started working on those areas. I've always had strong legs. So walking 20 miles, for example, is not that difficult of stretch. Back in high school and the early part of college, I was a runner. And so, you know, pushing myself, especially when it came to stuff that involved the legs, sort of came natural to me. For me, it was upper body and arm strength that needed the most improvement. And so, like I say, it gave me targets to work towards in the next event. Next event, the next tough that I did was like, oh, okay, this isn't quite as bad as that first one. And like, again, I took some takeaways from that and says, okay, here's how I need to tweak my training program to address some areas that I missed. And, you know, because every cadre is a little different and emphasizes different things, you know, you get exposure to, okay, well, I didn't do this in the last event, but I did it in this one, and I found out that I really suck at bear crawls, but I'm pretty good at crab crawls. So, that would be, I'd add a new element into the workout, and just trying to get stronger for the next event.
That's funny. I feel like we're pretty similar when it comes to leg strength, you know, running miles, rucking miles. I'm all good there. The Star Course is the dream event for me. But when it comes to that upper body strength, you know, the overhead holds, the overhead presses, that's definitely where I suffer.
Yeah, it's if, you know, like I say, I was a runner, and when I was training, it was all mostly in cardiovascular and leg strength. Now, I suffer from I'm on the shorter side. I am 5'8", which is not a good height for a runner. A good runner should be around 6'1 to 6'3. There was a Brazilian gentleman's name was Alberto Wanturina. He did a dual 400 and 800 meters in the Olympics back in, I think it was '70s. My coach picked him out and said, look at this guy. This guy has the perfect runner's body. And he was lean, tall. And, you know, I sat there and looked at him going, well, okay, you know, I've got to take two strides for every one of his, or one and a half. And that means I got to work that much harder to run the same distance. And that pretty much said, okay, I know where I can go so far and max out. It's like, you know, when I was running half miles, I was right around 152. I knew that is about as far as I could go because of if I had 4 or 5 inches extra length, that would mean I would have to work that much less harder. But I didn't have that, and you know, I was pretty much maxed out as to what my capability was. So, you know, rucking is an acceptable alternative. Yeah, throw some weight on, you know, and go for it. You know, I have the same problem that you alluded to earlier, is that in ABSOC, when we were doing the boats, I got in a crew that I was by far the shortest guy on the thing. And my arms at full extension were about 4 or 5 inches shorter than everybody else's. And the cadre seemed to point that out, that I wasn't helping the team. That was a fun little experience.
Oh, if only I'd known you then, we could have traded boats, because I'm 6'2", and I wasn't able to do the full extension because everyone on my team was a little bit shorter.
Yeah, it's and I know when we get situations like that, the cadre just laugh, because they went through the same thing in their selection, whether it was log PT, whether it was boats. You know, when you're holding something up and, you know, your arms just don't reach, you know, it singles you out for additional attention.
It sure does. So we had talked, you know, briefly before this kind of about the SAGE event, how it incorporates aspects from a couple other events that GORUCK has put on and you've been involved with, NOGOA and Jedburgh. It sounds like you started off with ABSOC, you did a couple lights, then you did a tough. How did you get into those events?
It was the events were relatively local in the Southern California area. And it was just a matter of, okay, look at the schedule, sign up for this one, show up and do my thing. But after, you know, about the third event, going, you know, I enjoy it, but I want something more. What other things were, you know, could occur? And one of the things that came up on the radar was GORUCK was starting a series of events called Jedburgh. They had held one on the East Coast, and it was a 24-hour event, and it was partially teaching survival skills and partially doing something that you would do during tough, carrying stuff, that sort of thing. And so I signed up for that. Now that one was in NorCal, so I drove up for that one, participated in that one, and going, boy, I had a ball. Now I've had survival training in the military, and the guys didn't teach me anything new. They reminded me of things that I had been taught, but it was the team that I was on that made it so enjoyable. And so I wanted to take elements of that, like the format of that, and use it in the SAGE event that we're going to be putting on in August of this year.
And so much of some of these events is the team that you're on. I mean, I've shown up to events that have just been, you know, something else, and it's the team that really gets you through it and keeps you at least smiling maybe a little bit throughout the duration of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in life or in, you know, any endeavor, it's the people around you that make the experience worthwhile. Yeah, ABSOC, yeah, it did suck at times. But, you know, every time when, I remember when it started raining?
Yes.
I was carrying a sandbag full of quarters. And I'm going, you know, well, okay, now it's raining. Now this really sucks. Because the sandbag was holding the collar of my jacket back, and the rain was coming off the head and right down my back. And I was going like, oh, yeah, this can't get any worse. And then we stopped, and Cadre decided it was time to get a little sandy. Well, wet, cold, and sandy. It doesn't get worse than that. And then we went in the water at Mission Bay. It was like, and that didn't bother me. And it surprised me because to me, the rain was colder than the ocean. And, you know, we all put our rucks together and, you know, we were running back and forth between the water. And at that point, I sort of detached from the event. And I'm sitting there listening to my team leader going, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. You know, they're going to put us back in the water if we don't. And I'm going, simmer down. You are going to go back into the water. There's no way you're not going to go back in the water. And I said, so let's just prepare for that. And he's going, no, 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 we got to do it. Okay. And lo and behold, the cadre come over and back in the water we go. And he's going, how did you know? I said, it was obvious. I said, you're all hyped. You're trying to help the team. I understand that. But I said, you have to be realistic. When you see 150 rucks in there, there's no way in a minute and a half that you're going to be able to distribute those. We're going back in the water. And he's going, really? I said, yeah. And so, yeah, we went back in the water and we did those fun exercises. And then we went for a little bit of a walk to get warmed up. Yeah. But that was, you know, for me, having been in the military, you know, it's like, okay, nobody's shooting at me, so there's nothing to be really upset about. So I remain calm during these things. But I always get a kick out of some of my teammates who, oh yeah, we got to, and they self-induce stress.
Yeah. I mean, that at that point, that was my 10th event. And I remember it was 150 rucks, and they're all in that pile. They're all stacked up on top of each other, right? And we had a minute and a half to run over to the pile, find our ruck, run back, and get back in formation. I remember just doing the math in my head and saying, yeah, no, there's a 0% chance this is happening. We'll be lucky if 40% of the people actually end up with their pack.
We knew, you know, you knew at that point that the cadre had determined, yeah, he's going back in the water.
Yep.
And in the water, it's the shock. You get in and you're cold, you know, for, you know, 30 seconds, and then you acclimate to it.
The only way we might have been able to pull it off is if you try and pull the trick where you just grab one ruck and run back and just say, yes, cadre, that is my ruck.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't know if we could have cycled 150 through that pile of packs.
Well, the cadre are a lot smarter than we give them credit for at times. They would have known that what we were doing. And first thing it is, you know, describe the patch that's on your pack. Oops. Yeah, that was a great event. You know, led by some really great guys. You know, I still remember Jeff Reeves sitting there, and we did something stupid, and so, you know, it was feet up on the boat and doing push-ups, and I think at that time I had been reassigned to a crew that was a little bit more of a Smurf crew. I remember, you know, we're probably on our 50th push-up. Everybody's hurting. I mean, everybody's hurting. And I saw Big Daddy come over and talk to him, and I'm going, oh, I think we see some relief coming. And sure enough, you know, Jeff had us crawl over to him. And then we picked up the boat and rejoined the rest of you guys. But that was the closest, that at that point was about as close as I came to quitting, because I was thinking about it and I'm going, I gotta push this out of my mind.
How much longer could this possibly go?
I heard after the event that somebody talked to Jeff and said, hey, these guys aren't going through buds. I don't know if that's true, but it sounded like a good story. I know that at another event, I was talking to Jeff and ABSOC came up, and I don't know how it came up in the conversation. I said, yeah, I remember doing about a number of push-ups with you sitting there. He goes, yeah, feet on the boat. Yeah, uh-huh. I said, I'm pretty much decided that how you were going to die. And he laughed. And he's going, but it was fun, right? I said, I can look back at it and say it was fun at the time. Not so much. And yeah, I mean, he had a big grin on his face. He's sitting there, he's laughing. And he said, but it was a good time. Yeah, Jeff, it was a good time. So, and one of the things, getting back to Sage, is in these events, we always emphasize the physical stress, the push-ups, the press-ups, the PT, the log part. And in looking at that, in putting together the Sage event, I want to test people in two ways. I want to test them physically, but I also want to test them mentally. Without giving away too much, we believe that the Sage event will do that in a way to generate both physical and mental stress. Because most people do not encounter both of those at the same time. They'll encounter physical stress, our normal events, or they will have mental stress, things going on at home, things going on at work, but having them combined is something that we want to do. Now, we just don't want to stress people. Stress for stress sake isn't. We want people to have fun. And so one of the things that we are doing is we're all going to have skills that are going to be taught. We're going to have a Fleet Marine Force corpsman come in and teach us some basic first aid. We're going to have Shredder come in and he's going to lead a land nav lane. I'm going to probably lead a lane on, some basic combat tactics. And what we're going to do is when we shove off into the mission phase, you're always going to have to be on. You're going to have to pull security. You're going to have to pull security while you're moving from point A to point B. If you're not pulling security, we're going to assign casualties. But we're going to teach you during that time that, yes, you can push yourselves physically, but you can also push yourselves mentally. The entire selection process, I don't care if you're a SEAL, if you're a Green Beret, if you're a Ranger, Recon, it doesn't matter. It's the ability to overcome not only physical stress, but mental stress, and still carry through and continue the mission. And that's what we want to give people a dose of.
That makes a lot of sense. And there aren't that many events out there where you do encounter both of those stressors at the same time. So you mentioned that, you're kind of the one who's written up these scenarios, who's planning Sage. I'm curious, what other, events have you planned previously to this event?
Okay. I didn't plan the individual scenarios within a JEDBER, but I helped organize a JEDBER down here in Southern California. Southern Cal, for some reason, never got the love that Northern California did. And so we put JED 6 on as a special event, held it here in Orange County, and we did it at a Boy Scout camp. And so when we approached the Boy Scouts, we told them what we wanted to do, and they said, okay, yeah, that's great. And, you know, the timing worked out, and they said, okay, sort of what is your time frame? Well, we'll be going 24 hours. And they're going like, huh? I said, yes, we will go, you know, our event's 24 hours. I said, okay. So when we showed up at the day of the event, well, actually, let me back up. Renee and I went out there and we photographed the Boy Scout camp. And then I met with Troy and Mickey and showed them the photographs that we had. And having gone through the second JEDBER, you know, I could identify areas where the various scenarios could take place. JEDBER had one that was had one scenario that was sort of an interrogation phase. You had a burlap bag over your head. In ours, in the one that I participated in, we were in a mud flat in San Francisco Bay, and we got a little bit of water poured over our face. Because of my background, I got a little bit more water poured on me, but it was like, okay, you know, it's not a big deal. And, you know, we just went on. And in inducing stress, one of the things that we saw in the JEDBER event was it was only for a fraction of the event, half hour. And I wanted to expand the stress. GoRec made a decision, which I have to agree with, that we couldn't do anything more radical on a interrogation thing, because in the one that I helped organize and I was a role player in, we had a gal who was so stressed out by the thought of what was going to happen, she freaked. She had literally a panic attack. And in speaking with Chris Clark, who's a certified SEER instructor, he's going, hey, you know, we've got guys in the SF pipeline that have gone through psychological testing that are failing. He said, you can't push participants that far. I was going, okay, yeah, you're right. But I can induce stress other ways. And that was the genesis for the SAGE event. I wanted a 48-hour event where we'd have a training session, and then we'd have a series of missions or tasks that the teams had to perform, and they would be graded on that. And so that, you know, we started talking about SAGE, and as we became more, as we became further and further going down the line in the planning stage, it became like, wow, we can do this, we can do that. And I started pulling stuff from my experience in Southeast Asia and putting them in. I reached out to a number of cadre and said, hey, I'm not asking for anything classified, but what one thing in Robin Sage did you learn that is useful to you today? And a number of them came up with additional scenarios that were like, oh, okay, good input. And we incorporated that. We tried a launch under the GoRuck auspices here in Southern California. And I don't know whether it was timing, price, scheduling, or whatever, we just couldn't get it to go. So threw it in back pocket, and we resurrected it November of last year. And so sat down with Shredder and said, okay, here's what I want to do. And he tweaked some things. He added some stuff. And, you know, we have put together the basic plan. And now then we decided to pull the trigger. We've got about 15 to 20 signed up. We costed it at 50 participants. So it will be 5 10-man teams. So we're really looking forward that in August that we will have 50 people ready to push off and have a good time.
So what's the date of the event and where's the event going to be located at?
Okay, the event's in Atlanta. The date is the 15th and 16th of August. The price is $300. And we've got a patch. If you go to Facebook and do a search on Sage 01, there's a space between the zero and the Sage. You will find it. When you try to access the page, it'll say you need authorization. Basically, I'll authorize you when I see the request, and then you'll have access to all the details, and that will be the information page of what we'll be doing. One of the things that will be a requirement of the course is that you will be tasked with identifying a Green Beret who died in the Global War on Terror. And we want you to research a little bit about his life and tell the group in 3 or 4 sentences why you picked him and what was meaningful in his life. Don't want to hear that, you know, he was born on this date, died on this date. What was meaningful? Why? Why should we remember? You know, and I think this is valuable for people to understand that, you know, it's almost a trite phrase, the cost of freedom is not free. You know, I know more people than I care to imagine on that black granite wall in Washington, D.C. And I know the first time I went up to that wall and I was there was during another event. And I mean, I almost had to stop the event. It was so emotional because the first name I saw was my cousin who was shot down in 1967. And I didn't know where his name was. It just, I happened to be walking along the wall. I stopped a minute, I looked up, and his name was there. I walked a little bit further on, and I saw people that I had known in high school, and it was a very emotional time. In fact, as I was sitting there pulling myself together, Cadre Andy came over, and he said, hey, if you don't feel like going on, we understand. And I said, no, I'll finish the event. But yeah, it was a very emotional time.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, that for a tough, that was a special, that was a one-off event that was, it was held obviously in Washington, D.C. It's the first time I met Cadre Andy. Cool guy. We'd had several conversations via Facebook over various things on the historical page. And, he arranged for us to meet Bucky Burris, one of the original Delta guys. He was there and he gave a talk when we were at the memorial to the guys that were killed on Eagle Claw. He went, and then were at the graves of four guys that he knew, and he talked about a little bit about each one of them, and it was a very emotional time for him as well. You know, different type of stress, but great time. You know, I tell people that that was probably my best GORUCK event. Where I wasn't learning something, it was history oriented. We made multiple stops during the day at various statues or places of historical significance, and it was just a great time. And that's what I want to do with SAGE. I want you to learn some first aid. Okay, everybody can use that. I want you to learn how to deal with stress, mental and physical. I want you to understand what some of these guys have sacrificed, you know, and the war on terror. And I want them to come away with going, hey, I want to tell my friends about this thing. This was a kick-ass event. I want them to enjoy it as much as I do. And I actually think that there will be some people that will try to go to multiple of these.
That's awesome. And it seems like you're bringing in, you know, a great group of people to help run these events, from GORUCK cadre to, you know, non-cadre who just have skills in the area. And that's one of the exciting things, since this is an event that you're putting on yourself, you know, with this group that you're able to do.
We're actually doing the signups via Range University, which is a company set up by a couple of former GORUCK cadre. Mike Castillo has since left GORUCK. When we first started talking, he was still a GORUCK cadre. And initially, we had brought this to GORUCK headquarters and say, hey, you know, here's what we want to do. And what's it going to cost? What are you going to charge for this? And they came back with a price, and the first price, you know, pretty much just choked me. And I said, you guys got to be kidding. And they came back and with a different price, and I said, you guys are still joking. And they came back with a third price, and after some negotiation, and I'm sitting there looking at the price, and the pricing I got would require me to charge $500 per person. And I'm going, you know what? Any smart business always does a decision on make or buy. And so I said, well, let me see what this would cost. And I reached out to a couple of former GORUCK cadre and said, hey, what do you guys usually make for, you know, a couple of days? And they told me, and I'm going, well, I can do better than that. So when I started adding things up, I came up with a price point that was significantly different. With insurance, with everything full boat, I can charge $300 per person. And it allows me to give a quality product to the community and still do what I want. I really had to look at what I was getting from GORUCK, and bottom line is, when I looked at it, I couldn't justify, you know, let me back up. I wouldn't pay $500 for a 2-day event for that. And if I'm not willing to do it, I'm not going to have a lot of people out there that are willing to do it. So I decided to do it in-house. And when Range University came on online, they said, hey, do you want to do something? I said, well, first event, I've already got locked down. I said, but we can certainly think about SAGE 2, 3, and 4 working together. And so we hope that that will be the case. So we hope to have eventually 6. Obviously, we have one in the southeast. The northeast would be one. one in the Texas area, one in the Chicago, Indiana area, you know, and one in SoCal, one in the Pacific Northwest. That's ultimately our plan. So hopefully in, you know, as any event, as we put more and more of these on, we're going to come back and go, oh, hey, this is a great idea. Let's plug it in. Or, hey, this thing that we thought was going to be really cool didn't work out so well, so we'll pull that out. So it'll be an ever evolving event, but all targeted for the individual participant walking away with concrete skills.
That's funny that you bring up Range University, because I recently got off like an hour and a half call with Mikey B, and I'm going to have him on a future episode as well. But that's cool that you're conversing with them and figuring out a plan there.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I want to do was hold a firearms day in Southern California. That's pretty much a non-starter because of the laws that they have on AR-15s and or AR-15 type weapons, and you know the magazine restrictions. You know, you get outside of the state of California and you've got some additional freedom, if you will. But one of the things that, you know, we looked at Range University is, you know, could they co-locate a firearms day, and people who wanted to participate in that could have that avenue as well, because that came up on a number of the early signups. Hey, can we have a firearms day? And I had some concerns on some stories I'd heard out of some of the GORUCK firearms days that caused me to go, okay, I want to have a little more control over it. I'm not willing to cede control over to GORUCK or even Range University without me having been utterly comfortable with what is going on.
That makes a lot of sense, especially if you're the one who's kind of putting this whole event together, for your name to be on it and for people to, you know, think of you as that go-to person, that you'd want to have a strong level of control, safety, and a good feeling about the event, especially if it's the firearms portion.
Yeah, it's, like I say, I know a lot of 18 Bravos. That's the the weapons sergeants of the SF community, and I have a lot of respect for those guys. They're professional, they're well trained, and you know, I want a good 18 Bravo, a senior 18 Bravo leading it, not a junior, senior guy. And in my mind, I'm willing to pay a little bit more for that expertise, for that additional training. There was one guy I was talking to, former Ranger, former Green Beret, retired Delta operator. Unfortunately, he decided to launch his own company. And not unfortunately, I wish him all the best. Don't get me wrong. He launched his own company and he's got a full dance card. But he would have been a great asset. But I'm looking for that type of expertise. You know, somebody who's been around the block a few times, you know, is going to be safe, because you know it as well as I do. The guys that are going to come into these events, you're going to range from experienced shooters to people who are handling a firearm for first or second, third time in their lives. And I want it to be a good experience. I want them to learn, but I also want them to be entirely safe in the process.
Absolutely. I mean, safety is paramount when it comes to these things.
I mean, former Soviet Spetsnaz guy in Texas, I think, don't hold me to that one, who was using some Russian training techniques. The Russians are what you would say aggressive in some of their training, and I just didn't think that was an appropriate thing for a bunch of amateurs. And it turned out one of the students shot themselves in the leg. Ever since I read that story, call me foolish, but I now carry a full trauma kit with me on the range. Not to think that I'm going to shoot myself in the leg, but if somebody does, I have tourniquets, I have I have the appropriate stuff to treat it and get them to medical attention so that nothing bad happens to them.
You know, you never want anything bad to happen at any of these events, you know, especially when you're on the range, but even worse than something bad happening is something bad happening and then no one has the kit around to solve anything or postpone any of the damages.
Yeah, I was at a TCCC class last year, and I was talking to the instructor, and he said, listen, as a matter of course, when you take your gun belt out, you should have a tourniquet and at least an individual IFAC with you. And he said, let me tell you a story. He said, I went out shooting with, I think it was the New Mexico State Police. Okay. People are trained. And in fact, it was not only the New Mexico State Police, it was one of their SWAT guys. And they're shooting. And he said, all of a sudden, my partner he grabs his chest and sits down. Chris went over and looked at him, said, what's wrong? He said, and by this time he had a small red splotch on the front of his shirt. Opened the shirt and he had taken a ricochet. Part of the jacket had come back and had penetrated into the chest. Well, Chris pulled out his chest seal, slapped it on him, and burped it and got him to medical, which was a 35-minute drive. It got in, and they said, okay, who slapped the chest seal on? Chris says, I did. The doctor looked at him and said, well, you probably saved his life because he would not have lasted getting in here. That had a big effect on me. It's like, yeah, where I shoot, I'm not that far away from medical attention, but let's give the person as much chance to survive as possible. So it's a standard thing now.
Absolutely. So jumping back into Sage for a moment, for those who are listening and don't know as well, where did the name Sage come from?
Sage comes from the culmination exercise of the Special Forces called Robin Sage. It is an exercise that's held after a potential Green Beret has completed all of his training. And this is the culmination where you use everything you have learned into accomplishing a mission or missions over a select period of time. And it is as close to real world as possible. They have a army of role players, many of them who are ex-Special Forces. Many of them are civilians who have been doing this for a couple of generations, and they really throw themselves into it. It gives the student an excellent taste of what to expect downrange. We're highly compressing that. We're obviously not giving all the training that is required, but it's trying to emulate, train your teammates, and then deploy. Sort of trying to give them that same flavor over a 48-hour period.
And should people expect role players in this event as well?
Oh, yes. In fact, in the planning of this, initially I was going to be a participant. And Shredder and I sat down, and he looked at me and said, you know, your team is going to have an inherent advantage because you're going to know everything that's coming. And I'm going, And I said, yep, you're right. And so I should not participate. And so I am going to be one of the role players. It just, you know, it would not be fair in the divine scheme of things, especially when the teams are going to be evaluated against each other.
That makes a lot of sense. And that must have been a tough decision to make, because it seems like you truly love these style of events. So maybe in the future, if things work out with Range University, you can be, you know, completely in the dark as to what will be happening and participate.
Hopefully. But my shelf life for these types of events is probably, in all honesty, coming to an end. Maybe another couple, 3 years. And so, you know, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, I still have the memories. Can't complain.
You can't beat that. And I mean, nope. like we talked about, you know, going back 6 years to previous events, those memories are still very fresh. I still remember that ruck pile. I still remember Bert with that freaking baseball bat behind his head, just resting on that pile of rucks. And
And remember his rants against Priuses?
I don't think you can forget those.
Yeah, but it was that was the last one I did with Bert. I've done some stuff with Big Daddy since then. I've done stuff with Jeff since then. Tyler had left the company, so I never got to do another one with him. But it was, and of course, Cadre Mike, Sweet Pea, can't forget him. It was still a good group of cadre, and like I said, I will take that to the grave.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about related to the Sage event? I mean, I think we did a good job explaining it. You know, there obviously I'll have links to the Facebook group in the show notes so people can click that and go there and apply to get in. Is there anything else that you want to talk about related to the event?
No, I can't think of anything. It's male, female, we don't care. We've got stuff that is going to stress all of you guys. I will guarantee you one thing, though. You will have a good time. Mike Castillo is our lead on this. I trust him implicitly to put on a great event.
Final pieces of information. It's in August in Atlanta. What's the length of the event?
48 hours.
You know, when you break it down, cost per hour, it's a really good deal.
Oh, it's less than $10 an hour. I mean, where else can you get good entertainment for that? And I know one thing, that we will probably have an after event little get together at the end to do a little bit of a debrief for the cadre and the role players, and enjoy a little hamburgers and hot dogs, and you know, maybe an amber beverage or two. Typical Go Ruck faction, you know?
Absolutely. A good time tacked on to the end of another good time.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for taking, you know, all this time out of your day to come on, talk about the first Sage event, which seems like it might be the first of many, possibly six or more events. And I had a great time, you know, even reminiscing about that first ABSOC event. So I appreciate everything. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And like I say, I'm glad to help, because even though Go Ruck has gone into a different direction, I think groups like, well, Go Ruck continues, but you know, some of the other, you know, like Ranger University, are going to be putting on events that will be a good time and will be valuable, because it'll pass on additional skill sets. I'm still trying to get Range University to do something up in the snow country in midwinter, because I missed the one that Chris Way did for Go Ruck about living out in the snow for, I think, 3 or 4 days. And I forget what that was called.
I'm excited too about, you know, these new event companies putting on events, because if there's, you know, anything that I think both you and I know from competitive spaces, it's that competition breeds better, you know, end of products.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting for GORUCK. It'll be interesting for Range University, but in the end, it should be better for all the participants.
And in the final scheme of things, that's where it really counts, is the participants.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast. This has been episode number 146 with Mike. Really, really hope you enjoyed it. If you want links to anything we talked about, including that Sage event, you can hit up the show notes, alldayrockoff.com/146. It sounds like it's going to be quite the event. A lot of people out there putting it on, and I'm just really excited to hear how it goes. If you want to support the podcast, you can always leave a review, either Apple Podcasts or Facebook. Just search for All Day Rock Off. You can also support through the online store, alldayrockoff.com/store. And then finally, there's Patreon, patreon.com/alldayrockoff. There's a couple additional bonuses for going that way as well. Speaking of Patreon, I want to take a quick second and say thank you so much to Adam for supporting through Patreon. Really, really appreciate that. It means a lot, and I just want you to know that. And then again, thank you, the listener, for downloading this episode. I truly appreciate your support, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week. As always, don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive, and thank you again for tuning in.